Hey everyone, hope you are having a lovely Sunday. Let us make it a little better with an AEW Collision review right here on the Mr. Warren Hayes Show channel. Hi, I'm Mr. Warren Hayes. Thank you very much for letting me into your waking life today as we get ready to review the November 25 edition of AEW Collision. I know there is tremendously huge news happening right now in the world of professional wrestling. There's, you know, big stuff happening, but this is not where we're covering it. This is the Collision review. We're talking specifically about a weekly wrestling show here. I will be discussing these other events on the Mr. Warren Hayes Show podcast this week, which will be recorded tomorrow, Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, not on our usual Tuesday spot because of issues. So the podcast will be recorded on Monday and released a little earlier, so on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So you'll be able to get all of those delicious, delicious thoughts very, very quickly. Very much sooner anyway than a full day sooner. Funny how that stuff happens sometimes. As it stands for now, we're going to break down last night's Collision. I'm recording this on the Sunday. Was the day before, the day after. I always like what I usually like to do, just like, you know, take stock of what happened, think about it, instead of doing instant reactions and stuff like that, which a lot of people do and are very good at. I just like to take a more, a more reflective approach, I guess. But then again, you know, I would say that there is not much to break down on this Collision. I don't know, I wouldn't call this a great Collision. I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine. You know, just a wrestling show that happened. Stuff happened. We got some good stuff on the show, but you know, it was fine. You know, nothing that'll tear the house down. Maybe this was by design. At the same time, you know, we were doing a full 3 hour. Block of AEW programming on Saturday, where you had the Rampage beforehand, that, by the way, saw Katsuyori Shibata lose the Pure title to Wheeler Yuta, and Katsuyori Shibata apparently has to go back to Japan I think the reasons are not disclosed or not very clear at this point, but he does have to go back for a significant amount of time. We can speculate all we want, we just don't know. I guess that's why they booked this match on Rampage, and then Wheeler wins. Collision maybe felt part of a 3 hour affair as well. Maybe that also added to the, if you just focus in on Collision, maybe it's not as grandiose. I don't know, but maybe it's also by design, knowing that this is all going head-to-head with Survivor Series, which is one of WWE's biggest pay-per-views of the year. So, you know, ratings are going to be in the toilet for this one. You know, it's not going to draw a ton of people. Like, it didn't draw a ton of people in the Peterson Events Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. According to WrestleTix, 3,515 people, tickets were distributed. Again, very median, very average turnout for an AEW show. I still don't think we need to be celebrating this. These are still bad numbers. They're not terrible. It's the average, and the average is not very good these days. You know, for comparison, when I say we, I mean AEW, we're there in April for a Dynamite in the Peterson Event Center. Almost 6,000 tickets distributed. So, you know... Tell me what has happened since the spring to now that the turnout is so low. What's going on with AEW? Well, you know, there's a couple of theories going around there. We're not crunching those necessarily today, and I've talked about them, on different podcasts. I don't want to necessarily rehash all of this either, but the trend continues, and it's still not. What is the reversal of fortune that is going to be required for AEW to start feeling hot again? I think, you know, there's a couple of fixes that could be done very short term, but, in, you know, There's some long-term planning that is also required here that I felt they had for a while. Doesn't quite feel like that anymore. But let's get to the show. Let's start breaking this down. The show opened up with a match of the Blue League for the Continental Classic, where Claudio Castagnoli defeated Daniel Garcia. I thought this was fine. Good little match. More than fine. I thought it was a good match. Basically here, the story is that Claudio has Daniel Garcia outclassed, outmanned, outpowered. Like, he's just running roughshod over old Dan here, who he's got him on the floor, him being Daniel. He gets him out on the floor. Daniel Garcia gets Claudio out on the floor, which is, one of the only moments in this entire match where he has any real upper hand. He drop kicks Claudio, but Claudio swings him into the rails back and forth. Some good stuff. And back in the ring, Garcia tries some stuff. He works out of a sharpshooter, locks in an ankle lock. He kicks out of a pop-up powerbomb, but the Ricola bomb puts him away. Claudio gets his first three of the tournament. He is up on the board. A fine, solid match. We're still not hitting any highs here in the tournament. These aren't matches that are blowing your mind. I'm going to talk about it more on Monday, but right now, what the Continental Classic needs, the Collision Classic would still be a very good, still very, very good for the alliteration with that. But what the Continental Classic needs right now is for these matches to stand apart from what you typically get on AEW, right? They need to have like this extra little oomph to make them feel like they're really special as being a part of this tournament. Right now, and as good as Moxley and Mark Briscoe was, they all kind of feel like Dynamite matches, which isn't bad. Complaining with your belly full is something odd, I will agree, but nonetheless, if you want, this tournament to feel special, come across as the best, tournament in North America, as Eddie Kingston is going to say in a couple of minutes, then it has to, you have to do something to make these matches feel next level so that the tournament becomes even more meaningful, if that makes sense. So yeah, Eddie Kingston cuts this promo after the match from backstage, explaining why the Continental Classic is important to him. That's fine. Next, we had the former Luchasaurus, aka Killswitch, in his new silver-tinted gear, defeating the boys in a handicap match. So that, it is what it is. It's fine. After the match, Killswitch sets up a steel chair, and he chokeslams one of the boys onto it. And Adam Copeland music hits to a big reaction from the crowd, of course. He sneaks up from behind Luchasaurus with a steel chair. And he just waylays on Killswitch with the chair. And then he rips a leg off one of the chairs, uses it to apply a crossface. And then does a concerto. Killswitch is still moving. Trying to get back to his feet. Well, Copeland curb stomps him and gives him another concerto. Ultra-violent Adam Copeland here. That leads us to backstage a little later. I think it's after the commercial, in fact. Copeland is backstage with Lexi Nair, and he talks to Christian. Christian's not there. He addresses Christian, I guess is what I should say. And he says everything that happened to Nick Wayne and Killswitch is his fault. When Christian said he was going to break Adam, his neck, Adam Copeland's neck, and said that he was going to put him in a wheelchair, that his kids would look at him and say, oh, my dad used to be something. That's when he crossed the line. Copeland says he's now the hunter, and he challenges Christian to a match for the TNT title at the December 6th episode of Dynamite, which is going to be in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. There's a reason for me to take to hit the highway and drive up there. The House of Black duo of Buddy Matthews and Malachi Black defeat Gravity and Commander. I thought this was fine. I thought, listen, I think Gravity was the leak wink here. The weak link here. He looked very rough. He blew a couple of spots, there was one early one with Malachi Black where it was just awkward. And it took a little time for the match to regain its composure. Come on, Dan was fantastic here, per usual. I feel like the House of Black should be they should wrestle like their scythes. You know, just cutting down people with tremendous strikes and formidable blows. I guess, you know. I don't know. I thought it was fine, and I thought the House of Black looked terrific. Don't get me wrong. You know, they catch Gravity on a Topikon Hilo, which was pretty cool, and that then sets up Commander to do the rope walked corkscrew. So all that is fantastic. But the House of Black win the match with a stomp, with Malachi toying with Commander, and look, the idea here, I'm all for the House of Black having more personality in the ring, and I like, you know, like everything, all the elements were there. I think there was maybe one particular element here that was dragging everything down, if that makes sense, right? We get a segment backstage, pre-taped. Action Andretti, Darius Martin are there. They're talking about how close of a bond they've formed over the past few months. But now there's something more. There's a wrinkle. Dante Martin walks into frame and he says he's back. And they all seem cool with it. Like, Andretti goes, cool. And Dante goes, cool. And Darius goes, cool. You know, and everyone's chill with it. You know, Action Andretti wasn't suddenly like, I'm going to lose my spot. You know, this is my best friend. No, it was none of that. And apparently they're going to be in action at Dynamite this week. And that's all cool. I mean, I'm glad Dante Martin's back. Talented. Outrageously bad injury. I'm glad he's back, because that was a horrifying injury. Horrifying. So, you know, we'll see how that places all action here. In the meantime, Julia Hart defended her AEW TBS title for the first time against Lady Lady Frost in a house rules match. And the rule that Lady Frost decided to take was no countouts, which Julia Hart took well advantage of, beating the hell out of her on the floor. You know, why can't these people, like, honestly, listen. If you're giving me like a rule, right? I am coming up with something that will give me full advantage. Remember when the House of Black was doing this, you know, and the rule that the opposition would pick was like, no, Julia Hart at ringside. I'm like, fuck off. I'm more like, Brody King cannot tag in. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of rule I'd set down. As opposed to no countouts. Anyway, Julia Hart, she uses it to her advantage. Lady Frost looked good here. A fine little match. You know, the analysis with Julia Hart, and again, you know, I don't want us to run away because, you know, I know I'm very high on her. I think she has a tremendous amount of potential. I think, you know, and I, you know, I don't want to give the impression that I think she's the next Kira Hakuto or anything. I think she's working well within her means. I think she's making the most with what she has. And she has created a personality that can be projected very well. You know, I dare say she still has lots of room to grow. If she stays on this level for the rest of her career, things might get a little sketchy, but you know, she's very good. And I think Lady Frost is very good. She had a good little showing here. Everything worked out fine. Good little match. Don Callis is with Powerhouse Hobbs backstage, talking about how Hobbs put Massive Man through the windshield of a car a couple of weeks ago. Was it a couple of weeks ago? No, it was last week on Dynamite. Jeez, it feels like a couple of weeks ago. Holy crap. And Callis is a little befuddled that the Golden Jets got a tag team title match after winning one match. And Hobbs says he's big, black, and jacked. FTR defeated the Righteous. Nothing wrong with it. Solid match. Well done. Good back and forth between both teams. FTR get the win. I don't know what to add to this. Like, I have nothing else to add. Should I sit here and tell you that FTR should be pushed more? Well, probably. I think that's inevitable. That's something that'll come around. I don't think there's anything wrong with them going on TV and getting some easy wins off of, you know, lower card performers, acts, tag teams. Jesus, I'll get the words out. Should the Righteous be inclined to do more? Probably. And, you know, they were talking about their affiliation with Jake Roberts again. Commentary. We're talking about Jake Roberts again, and he wasn't there. And I'm like, okay, does this have some kind of tie-in? Are we going deeper on this? Like, what is going, like, you know. Okay. I mean, it's in one of these spaces where, you know, I'm not completely indifferent, but I'm not making, you know, I don't care. You know, let's just have this stuff happen. Let's just go, you know, it's whatever. I don't know. What do you want from me? After the match, Malakai Black comes out. He's got a mic. He's in the audience and he says, you know, aha, you are all alone now. It's just, you know, Cesaro won't come out to save you. He says Cesaro, right? Like, oh boy. He says, there's no Yuta to come and save you. And there's no CM Punk to save you. Yes, he said it by name. And boy, did that make all the headlines of all the aggregators. Especially on Saturday night. Oh, Christ almighty. And he says, this place is not the Brotherhood you guys think it is. And then, poof, the lights go off and he disappears and he is nowhere to be found. His mystical powers of walking quickly have made him disappear from the audience. It's fine. Look, at this point, the House of Black is 2-for-2. Yeah, you know, a couple of weeks ago, there was this collision where the House of Black was just running roughshod over everyone, right? They were not interfering, but they were getting involved in the very least in everyone's business. And there was a lot of stuff going on. And I was like, okay, good. Let's have a House of Black that's going to just like, you know, tear shit up. Just like be the wild cards and just, you know, fuck with people, essentially. And we hadn't really seen that. Now we're back to doing that. I feel like they could be more of a presence, more of a force. I feel like they're over. When it comes to the House of Black, I think fans are just waiting for an excuse to cheer for them, if that makes sense. I think they want to support the House of Black. They're just waiting for a reason to do it, if that makes sense. Tony Schiavone welcomes the AEW World Tag Team Champions Ricky Starks and Big Bill to the ring. Both Starks and Bill have a turn on the mic. Bill was very good here. Going over, succinctly going over his history with alcohol addiction, with depression. Saying that he always knew he'd make it back to the top. Even when, you know, everyone else discounted him, told him he was washed. He knew he'd be back. And, you know, you have to give this guy every inch of credit in the world for building himself back up and staying on course in an industry that is, still to this day, very, very susceptible to reignite. Still very susceptible to reignite. What's the word I'm looking for? Vices. Tear you down from your struggles with whatever demons you're handling right now. Big Bill is truly a big story, and you got, you know, Ricky Starks on the side, you know, hyping him up. That's right, you know, you're the man. It's all you, baby. This is nice. I did like, you know, Ricky Starks saying, you know, Bill and I, we barely know each other. Bill, when's my birthday? And Big Bill, without missing a second, goes, I don't know. So you understand the dynamic here. And then they rattle off basketball duos, Hakeem and Magic, right? And Shaq and Kobe, Pippen and Jordan and Jericho and Omega aren't Pippen and Jordan in their eyes. They're just the guys who get the bubble gum, the Bazooka Joe, right? For Pippen and Jordan before the game starts. This is fun. Good promo. I liked it. Keith Lee defeats Lee Moriarty. Big hometown pop for Lee Moriarty. Let's not get our Lees confused here. The match here was basically Moriarty trying to work over Keith Lee. You know, work the arm, so on and so forth. But it just wasn't working out for him, right? It just was not working out for Moriarty. Keith Lee, too powerful, gets the win. Then later we get Keith Lee backstage saying that he's sick of not getting opportunities. And there's one guy he's coming for, like he was very obtuse about that. Not obtuse, cryptic. Mysterious. He didn't play his hand here. Maybe it's CM Punk. And then the main event was the other Blue League match for the Continental Classic, the C2, where Brody King defeated Eddie Kingston to get his first 3 points. I thought this was very good. I thought this was a very, very good match. Big chops to start. Brody is in control early on in this match. Cannonball in the corner. They brawl on the floor. He does a senton on Eddie Kingston back in the ring. There's some more big strikes by King. We get a superplex as well. And Eddie ate so much offense, like he spent, right, trying to Irish whip him into the corner and he just collapses. It's just not working. But he fights back eventually, lands the corner chops, eats a German by King, but Eddie gets right back up and lands a back fist. There's some more strikes by both guys who follow. And I think it's someone, I think it's Andrew Rich of the Music of the Mad podcast. He, in our little group, he said that there's this one chop that Eddie Kingston does that he had never heard a chop sound like that. Kind of like a teeing off at a golf course, right? The sound that it makes when you tee off. I was paying extra attention when I was listening to it because I watched Survivor Series live and I watched Collision after. And the sound, and he was right, the sound it makes is not like it's not like the usual slap that the chops make. It's just like, it did sound like someone was teeing off. Enziguri and DDT by Eddie Kingston, an exploder and a half and half suplex and a Saito on top of that. Brody kicks out of all of that and lands a pile driver. Eddie Kingston hits a back fist, but the Gonzo Bomb puts it away for Brody King in what I consider this to be the first big surprise of the tournament. Right? I mean, Eddie is putting his titles up on the, for the duration of the tournament. I think a lot of people were, and still are, expecting maybe Kingston to win so that he retains all these titles. And, because we don't know how this is all aligned with New Japan. We don't know what the plans are for the Strong title, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of people holding out hope that our boy Eddie might be the guy. And him starting at a deficit, losing his first match, I think this is a surprise. And I think it wasn't driven across enough by commentary here. Because you would have expected the champion here coming into this tournament, the guy who laid everything, so they keep underscoring how, Eddie Kingston is laying everything on the line here. He went all in this tournament. All of his stuff, it's all, all of his life's work, right, as he likes to call it, is on the line here. And that's fine. That's fine and dandy. But in the meantime, when he loses, you're like, oh, a big win by Brody King. I think this story here easily could have been a shocker. A surprise victory. No one was really expecting this. Eddie came in as the favorite, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to call this like an underdog victory. I don't think Brody King is an underdog type of guy. But I think more emphasis could have been put on Eddie losing here, being a big deal and being like the first big wrinkle that this tournament has, right? I'm convinced Brody King was a bracket buster, even though there's no brackets here, but you know what I mean. That he was the first bracket buster for a lot of people's tournament here. Here's where seeing the entire layout, all of the seeing all of the dates, which matches are where, would help us get into the groove here and see, okay, well, this is what Eddie's tournament looks like. Like on Dynamite this week, we already have a big time match between Swerve and Jay White. Already two guys who have 3 points, whoever wins here is getting a substantial advantage in the tournament. We're already having a tiebreaker of sorts. This is a very significant match here, that might even count all the way down to the playoffs. Who knows? Because of tiebreakers. Anyway, it would be cool to see how the thing, how the trajectory's been set out and who's fighting who next, instead of finding out, you know, drip feed week after week. But I also think this was probably the best match of the tournament so far. And if all of these matches felt like this one, felt urgent, felt significant, felt important, both guys working hard, leaving it all out there, I think it becomes a layup for the Continental Classic to become something distinct for AEW, something good, something fans will look forward to, that we'll talk about, you know, maybe not in reverence for the first couple of years, but we'll talk about with excitement. I think this is a good template. Just like I wanted on Dynamite on the first the first night of Gold League, I really think Mark Briscoe should have won, because that would have just like completely changed the conversation. Just 100% flipped it around. Would have been completely different. That's what I would have done. Anyway. There we go. That was Collision. Again, you know, fine show. Nothing that I think... It's not that deep. You know, this week's Collision is not that deep. It felt like it was a show that everyone knew they, you know, there was no way they were going to make a dent in the ratings, that they didn't want to do anything too big or significant because no one would be watching. That's how it feels. That's how it came across as, and that's what we got. There you go. We'll leave it at that for now then. It's a quick one, but I'm not going to pretend that there's all this deep analysis to provide here. There really isn't. Not on this one here. We've covered everything. Let's just move on. Let's all have a great rest of our Sunday. Thank you everyone for listening. Remember, Monday, tomorrow, recording of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show happens live at 7 p.m. Eastern, as opposed to our usual Tuesday slot. But then the Mr. Warren Hayes Show podcast will be out on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. Everyone wins in some form or another. So I'll be back as early as tomorrow. Thank you everyone for being here, and I'll see you next time.